My name's Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop, a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. Most of the episodes are conversations about following this incredible, demanding, forgiving man. Some are adventures I've had following him, and others are reflections on the Bible, faith, and spirituality. Why not subscribe and join me on the journey? Here's a little clip of what's coming up in today's episode.
It's freeing something in me. It's drawing me into God's great love that doesn't require actually any words.
All right, let's go.
I'm coming to you from the village of Ailette in southwest France, in Basque country, where I've been for the last, I've been in Basque country for the last month, and I've been on the French side for the last 2 weeks. I've been volunteering at an old farmhouse that's been converted into accommodation, gîtes, and they do retreats and all sorts of things, and I've been volunteering there, and it's been a real blessing to be part of this amazing community and to be part of this amazing, area. It's absolutely incredible. How can I describe it? I'm in a rolling field of green, and there's sheep to my left, and Ailette is kind of behind me, and it's been a bit stormy the last few days. So it's incredibly luscious and green at the moment. I mean, the Basque country is known for being very verdant, and I'm really seeing that. There's been a lot of rain while I've been here. There's also been a lot of sun, and it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed my time here and learning about Basque culture, and yeah, amazing place. But I am heading off tomorrow. And I just want to tee up this episode of the podcast because I'm heading off to a converted monastery near Poitiers, in the kind of central west part of France, I guess you'd call it. And this converted monastery is now run as a Christian retreat centre and a Christian meditation centre. It's actually the headquarters of the World Community for Christian Meditation. And I'm really excited to join this community. I'll be joining them for about 40 days. I'll be entering into their sort of spirit of prayer and meditation and work and meals together, silence, and really following with them the rule of Saint Benedict. Now, I really don't know much about Saint Benedict, so this is going to be an opportunity for me to learn more about who he is and why he means a lot to a lot of Christians around the world, particularly Catholics. And I'm going to be spending time with people who follow his rule for life, who live it out on a daily basis. Well, it's the next day, Wednesday the 23rd of June 2021, and I'm all packed up. Got a big journey ahead of me on the Vespa, driving 460 kilometres roughly up to Bonneville, just outside Poitiers. I'm breaking the journey up, so I'm going to be arriving in Bonneville on Friday. So I'm just going to take it slow, enjoy exploring the French countryside. But I'll check in with you when I'm settled at the monastery, and let you know how things are going. All right, let's go. Just recording this on my phone because my microphone's in the bottom of my bag, but just a quick one to say I'm about an hour away from Bonneville. I'm just taking a bit of a break. I'm parked in a cornfield somewhere in rural France. The sun is shining, the grasshoppers are chirping away, and yeah, I'm just preparing myself for what's to come. I don't quite know what's to come, so that's exciting. But yeah, I've just said a prayer to sort of open my heart and mind to all that God might do in this next season. So yeah, let's see. Well, it's my fifth full day at the monastery, and there's a lot to catch you up on. The last 5 days have been extraordinary, and I've learned so much. My head is kind of, I don't know, it's hard to put into words almost what's happened over the last 5 days, but I'll do my best, because it's been a really kind of stretching time, and a really in some ways quite an uncomfortable time, a time of having to kind of put away a lot of stuff that I take for granted. Let me just start with the silence aspect. That when I first arrived here, I found it to be really kind of quite hard and quite difficult. Not difficult, but certainly uncomfortable, maybe. Something that I'm not used to. But it's something that I've grown to really appreciate and really love. Silence is a big part of life here at this monastery, and you know, meals are in silence. At least breakfast and lunch are, and just that as a thing was something that I'm really not used to. I'm so used to meals being a time of, you know, talking, but there's something really beautiful about it, and there's something so beautiful here about the hospitality, the idea that actually actions speak louder than words. And I'm really seeing that. I'm really seeing how the members of this community just love one another and are loving me and are welcoming me into this place with such open hearts. It's really beautiful. It's really, really special. And I feel so welcomed, and so much a part of this community, even though I've been here just a few days. But the silence, I guess maybe I knew that it was a part of life here, but it's something that's really, it's really stretching me. It's really, you know, it's challenging me. because I realize that life in general is so noisy. There's so much noise, there's so much going on. And here, you know, the members of the community are living out the rule of Saint Benedict, which is really centered on silence and centered on meditation and prayer and service to one another and to God. And I just think it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, and it's so humbling to be part of this. I'm finding it's really kind of stripping away a lot of the things that I thought I knew about Christianity, and it's exposing me to a whole new area of Christianity, the Christian mystical tradition, or the contemplative tradition, the area that's where Bonvo, the monastery, is located. Apparently, they've never used pesticides here. That's something that someone told me. Just the different owners and people who have had charge of this land have made the decision to never use pesticides and herbicides. And that means that I'm told that there's a much wider variety of wildlife and bugs and insects than actually, you know, most places. and just in the time that I've been here, I mean, I've seen an incredible range of wildlife. Wild boar, and a kingfisher, red squirrels, red kites. I know that there are deer here. I haven't seen any yet. And it feels like a little, maybe it's not too bold to say that it feels like this is a little bit of heaven. It feels that way. And I feel so peaceful here, just walking in the grounds and getting into this rhythm. It really is a rhythm of meditation and silence and community. And and then, yeah, the people here. I mean, I think maybe there's a preconception of going to live in a monastic community that the people there might be a little bit, you know, holy and holier than thou, and kind of, you know, living this very perfect, pristine monastic life. And I think the real revelation for me is just how normal and down to earth these guys are. It's an amazing group of people, and I feel such deep connection and friendship with them, having only known them a few days. And I think, I mean, that's something that John Main, the founder of the World Community for Christian Meditation, something he really expressed was that meditation builds community. And I am finding that. I'm really finding that in those moments of silence where we sit in a circle or kneel in a circle, we have our liturgy, we hear a psalm sung, as it would have been in its original form. We sing a chant, and then we listen to a passage from scripture, and then move into half an hour of just silent meditation. I'm finding that after those times, as we step out of the room, there's such a bond of friendship. Well, I'm about a week and a half into my stay at Bonvo, and I'm just going for a little walk. I'm walking past the lake, which is full of these incredible creatures called koipu. These rodents that live in lakes, and they're amazing. They're really quite strange. They're related to rats, but they look, well, I think far nicer. But they're huge. They're absolutely huge. From a distance, they kind of look like otters, and you know, they're about a meter long with the tail and everything. The wildlife in this place, like I said, is just amazing, just really, really special. And yeah, I'm loving this. I'm loving this place. I'm loving the whole, I think I'm really in the zone now with this. I'm really, I've kind of adjusted to the different way of life and the kind of some of the stuff that I found maybe a bit strange or just slightly different to what I'm used to, now feels very normal. So something like eating meals in silence now just feels incredibly normal to me. Meditating 3 times a day feels very normal. Something else we've been doing each day is reading from Saint Benedict's Rule, just reading a chapter and discussing it and talking about how how that might relate to us here and what's happening here with this community, and you know, which parts of Benedict's rule can we draw heavily from, and which parts actually are outdated and don't work for this context. And there's a really interesting ongoing discussion happening about how to kind of do community in the spirit of Saint Benedict in the 21st century and what that looks like. And I'm fully involved in that process and conversation, and that's really exciting for me to be talking about those things. I'm learning a lot about a lot of different things, really. Saint Benedict, Catholicism. I'm learning a lot about the contemplative tradition, monasticism. And it's really good. It's really challenging as well, though, because it's kind of I'm finding it's confronting a lot of things about my faith and about my perception of God, and it's kind of undermining some of those things in a good way. I mean, I think whenever you go into a very different context and you see how other people do church and how other people do this Christianity thing, it can kind of challenge you, because you realize that, well, I personally realize that I make a lot of assumptions about how church should be done and how, you know, what Christianity looks like on a practical level. And here it's so different to really anything I've seen before. But of course it's a timeless, age-old tradition that this community is part of. You know, the contemplative tradition stretches all the way back. And I've been learning a lot about the history of the World Community for Christian Meditation and John Mayne, and kind of where he was finding his inspiration was largely in the desert fathers and mothers and the, you know, these early Christians who were living in sort of nomadic communities out in the desert. And one guy in particular, John Cassian, talks a lot about contemplative practice. He really talks about this idea of meditating, returning to a simple phrase that you can repeat, and using that to draw closer to God. So really, this is part of something so much bigger, and that's really exciting for me as well. It's not like this is just maybe this is a preconception that I had coming in, was that this was just kind of quite a new thing, quite a kind of experimental way of doing Christianity. It's actually incredibly orthodox, and it stretches all the way back. And it stretches all the way back to even Paul, when he talks about, the words failing us in prayer and just relying heavily on the Spirit. Wordless groans, I think he says. You know, and I'm really learning a lot about what it means to be still before God, what it means to come to God just as we are. I think I'm really learning that, and not necessarily have anything to say to him. So yeah, I think I'm, where am I at the moment? I think I'm in a really good place. I think I'm in a place now where I've got through a lot of the initial maybe discomfort of being in such a different kind of community, and I realize now, I think I always realized that this was something very special, but that in those first few days I felt a little bit like I didn't quite know what the rules were, when are we silent, when are we not, those kind of things. And just gradually I've just learnt the rhythms of life, the rhythms of the day, the rhythms of the week, the fact that on Sundays, you know, we have meals and we do talk, it's a feast day, you know, little things like that, that you just learn as you go through the week. The kind of pattern of having mass on Sunday and then also a smaller mass on Thursday. The pattern of reading the rule of Saint Benedict, But then once a week, instead of doing that, listening to a talk by John Main about contemplative Christianity, spirituality, you know, prayer, and then just meditating on that for a few minutes and talking about that and what God is saying to us through those words. There's a real sense of rhythm to this place, and there's a real sense of order. You know, things are ordered, and that might sound quite restrictive. I think, you know, the natural impulse is to think, you know, oh, you know, by putting everything in such a sort of definite order, that's going to restrict our own sense of self. And I'm finding the opposite to be true. I'm finding that actually within this structure, and there is a very concrete structure to the day here and to the week and, you know, our tasks and our work, and it's very clear, you know, what everyone is doing, and there's a, you know, you don't want to kind of step out of that too much, because I wouldn't want to. You know, this is a community that really kind of depends upon people buying into it and wanting to offer their skills and offer their time, offer their focus. But there's an incredible amount of grace as well, and an incredible sense of support, of laughter. There's a lot of humour. There's a lot of joking about, you know, about this as well. Like, you know, acknowledging that this is not a normal way necessarily to be living life, but it's such a brilliant way to be living life, I think. I've known for a while that community is something just really, really fundamental to me, and I've been part of some amazing communities in my life, and I think it's just such a, I think it's the way to live. I honestly do. I can't really see any other way of living. Ultimately, it's so, and I think it's so central to God's vision for us as people. Just a quick one. I'm recording this on the following day, Wednesday. It's called Desert Day. Every Wednesday we just take some time off, really, and have a much more simple schedule and no work, and yeah, an opportunity to do some reading and, you know, explore the local area, that kind of thing. And the great thing about, you know, learning all this stuff for the first time is that I'm discovering things which then I find are, you know, reinforced by the teachings of John Main and John Cassian, you know, the Desert Father. But I'm experiencing things about meditation, you know, firsthand. And then, you know, I was reading a bit this morning, and it really spoke to me, and it kind of reminded me of what I was saying yesterday. Let me find this bit from John Main, from one of his teachings. In meditation, we go beyond thoughts, even holy thoughts. Meditation is concerned not so much with thinking as with being. And in contemplative prayer, we seek to become the person we are called to be, not by thinking about God, but by simply being with Him. Simply to be in His presence is all-sufficing. Simply to be with Him is to be drawn into being the person He calls us to be. I'm just coming off the back of a three-day retreat for members of the World Community for Christian Meditation, and an online retreat that's been held. And it's been a really good opportunity for me to see the scale of this movement for Christian meditation. You know, people in so many different countries all around the world joining online for worship and meditation and seminars, all sorts. And before the retreat itself, there was a 24-hour relay of meditation with different people taking kind of an hour or half an hour here and there. And I think in total there were 2,000 people that partook in that. So amazing stuff. And it's really exciting for me to see this global community at play. And I've really been, kind of deepening my, maybe understanding's the wrong word. Yeah, it probably is the wrong word. I've just been deepening in my meditation and finding so much richness in those points of meditation, those kind of anchor points throughout the day. And there's three things that just keep on coming up for me. And those are the importance of stillness, the importance of silence, and the importance of simplicity. And I just thought I'd talk a little bit about those three things. Stillness is something that I personally really struggled with at the start of this time at the monastery. You know, I'm not used to sitting in stillness for 5 minutes, let alone for 30 minutes or an hour. What I'm finding is that the stillness is releasing something. And I can't quite put into words what it is. Yeah, what is it? The stillness is releasing a sense of just communion, I think, with God. And I think that's it. I think it's just that when I'm able to stop and slow down and not be doing something with my hands, not be thinking about something, not be working on something, on a different project, when I can just have that time of stillness, I am finding more and more that I am drawn into the presence of God in a mysterious way that I can't, you'll notice I'm sort of struggling to put some of this stuff into words. Maybe that's the point. I'm just very aware of God's presence here. And in those points of meditation, the stillness is very important, I think, in that. So that's the stillness. And I think it goes hand in hand with the second point, silence. Why is that so key? You know, I've talked about how, again, I found the silence a bit uncomfortable at the start. And I'm used to being quite a extroverted person, you know, using my voice. I have a background in theatre and performance, so I'm, you know, quite comfortable with talking, and probably too much sometimes. And maybe that's why I started this podcast, because I felt like I had things to say, and you know, I enjoy this as a medium, as a way of communicating. But the silence, again, I think I'm finding, personally, I can only speak from personal experience, but it's freeing something in me. It's drawing me into God's great love that doesn't require actually any words or any kind of theology or methodology. And then the final thing, simplicity. And this, I think, is the one that I'm finding is the biggest revelation for me. I, at the beginning, or kind of going into this experience, be honest, I think I was maybe slightly dubious of the idea of Christian meditation. You know, I just, the idea of sitting in silence for half an hour and repeating a mantra, one word, over and over again, just seemed ludicrously simple. And I think that's the point. Because in the simplicity, again, I'm finding that things that maybe in the past I felt were important for my connection with God and for God's connection with me, like saying the right words, praying the right prayers, interceding in the correct way, coming at it with the right theological perspective. You know, all of that is kind of irrelevant in meditation, because it just comes back to this very simple repetition of Maranatha, come Lord. And you know, that word, it's Aramaic, it's the language that Jesus spoke. So it doesn't even, for me, it doesn't necessarily set off loads of thought patterns, and I'm not thinking about what it means necessarily. I am just repeating it as a sound, as a word. And I think it's fascinating. I think it's really, really fascinating how it almost shouldn't work. I feel like it shouldn't work, and yet I feel so close to God. I feel like there is revelation happening. I feel like there is God is stirring compassion in me, and I feel like he's stirring lots of things. And it's all coming from this place of incredible simplicity. Well, I am coming to the end of my time at the monastery. I'm heading into the final few days. And what an incredible time it's been. A time of real discovery. A time of challenge. Of stretching. Physically and spiritually and emotionally. Yeah, a real time of change in many ways, but a beautiful time. And it's hard in a way to really sum up, but I guess that's what I'll try and do. It's just been amazing to be part of this community. You know, I came into this setup here really not knowing much at all about Benedictine monasticism, not really knowing a huge amount about contemplative practice, and it's just been so special to experience those things firsthand. You know, you can read about these things and you can watch videos about them and listen to podcasts, but to actually be immersed in it for this period of time has been so profound and has really, really touched me, really spoken to me. This community is amazing. And I'm just reminded again just how important community is, especially in the modern world where we're so used to the idea of loneliness, I think. It's become just part of the modern way of life, which is a tragedy. And I think community is the answer to loneliness. And here at Bonvo, I've experienced a lot of solitude. And I think that's so different to loneliness. And I think it's worth saying as well that it's not all fireworks. You know, this isn't all, you know, often meditation, I mean, most times nothing really happens. And I really think that's the point. I think I'm learning that more and more, that it's not about fireworks necessarily. I mean, sometimes I think there are definite moves of the spirit, but I think often it is just about sitting with God and just carving out an hour a day to just be, a human being, not a human doing, not producing anything, not achieving anything, not putting the world to rights, just being before our Lord and Saviour. The people here are much further on this journey than me, certainly the people who have been here long term and maybe have been meditating for a longer time and part of monasticism. And I see it in them, I see it in their lives and the way that they are. There's this lightness of touch, this softness. And one of the most amazing things that someone said to me recently was that they'd noticed a change in me just in the time that I'd been here. They'd noticed that I'd softened a little bit. And I think I know exactly what they're getting at, that I probably came into this experience with that mentality of having to achieve something, you know, having to be changed in the 40 days that I'm here. And just day by day, God has just, I think, softened my heart, slowed me down, forced me to enter into a slower pace of life, a stiller place in my heart, and a more silent place as well, where I can just allow the work of the Holy Spirit to change me. I'm so grateful to this amazing community for the way in which they've welcomed me in, the way in which they have allowed me the space just to walk with God through this time. The ways, sort of gentle ways in which they've supported me, served me, and actually let me serve them as well. And I've loved, being part of that. I've loved cooking meals and serving them, and I've loved the flow of meditation and of work and of rest and of study. And, you know, I think this Benedict guy was onto something. It's been really interesting to read his rule while I've been here and to discuss some of the different chapters with members of the community. And I think at first it can feel like a lot of what he's talking about is quite restrictive. You know, he's putting in all these rules and all these little things that we should and shouldn't do. But I think as you read Benedict's rule, you become aware that he's actually got this incredible freedom, that he has certain things that he puts in place, but then he allows a bit of grey area, a little bit of give and take. He acknowledges that if something goes wrong, as it will, because we're human, that that's not the end of the story, and there's always room for forgiveness and for redemption. And it's a little rule book, but it is so much more. I think it offers a real blueprint for community life, and a way of organizing community that is formal and has certain things in place, but is governed by love, ultimately. I've kind of gone through that journey of initially finding it very restrictive and just alien to what I was used to, you know, and not quite knowing what the rules were of this community. But as I've spent time here and eased into it, I have found the rules of this community to be incredibly liberating. And I find it an incredible witness that these people are living this out daily. You know, I'm leaving in a few days. These guys are going to keep on doing this every day. And that's beautiful, just to think of that.
Many thanks to Johnny Davies for creating the theme tune. Thanks as well to Tattooed Preacher and Thomas Thorogood for the additional music. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. And if you want to support it further, there are two fun ways to do that. Just check the description for the links. I really appreciate you listening. God bless you, and I'll see you down the road.